One of the great responsibilities of a grandparent is to teach your children, your grandchildren, how to fish, right? How many of you are there? Or some other life skill. And we usually do this back in Minnesota, although some of the principles are the same, and there's usually a bobber involved. So we throw the bobber out, and there's all sorts of instructions that Grandpa gives. Now, you got to watch your bobber. When the bobber goes under, it means you have a fish. But there's also the bobber twitching, and that there's a bump, or your bobber's moving. All these are things that they need to learn to pay attention to, and they all evoke admonition from Grandpa. Usually, watch your bobber. And then, of course, the next thing is to learn to respond when the bobber moves to set the hook. Oh, you didn't set the hook. You missed that one. So at the right moment, they're supposed to jerk back, and the reward is they catch a fish. Watch and respond and react. You know how kids are. They often get distracted, especially if there's only a few bites taking place. And so... not Grandpa. I'm not distracted, and I'm there yelling out, "Your bobber's under! Your bobber's under!" And of course, they see it. It is too late, and so then it's a gentle scolding. If you're going to catch fish, you've got to pay attention. Been there, some of you? Change the bobber. It's the same for all of us, isn't it? I did learn one thing. You know, we used to go out in the lake and tour all over and try to find where the sunfish were. Then I learned if you throw a rock off the dock, the fish have all learned that the kids fish there, and the minute anything hits the water, there's instantly fish biting at it. I learned it's a lot easier just to fish for the ones that are used to being caught than to go out into the lake and find others. Watch and respond. Pay attention. These are biblical truths, and I want to talk about them this morning. Last week, I talked to you, 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about the Christian home and gave you some 10 principles. They were good points. Many of you wanted them later. They were things like practice what we preach, combine soft and tough love, praise our children regularly, don't discipline out of anger, keep your promises. All of these were principles, but if you think about it, most of them are the what. And today I want to talk about the how. And not just for how to have a Christian home, but how do we change anything in our Christian life? We see something, we realize there's a need for us to grow. How do we go about that? And so while the subject has been the home, today I want you to think in broader terms that this is the key to how we do any of the what's in our life. Starts in Galatians 5, really is the cornerstone of all this. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that there's a battle going on between our fallen nature. Everyone realize there's something in you askew. You don't just naturally want to do good. There is a part of you that wants to do good. But there's a part that we don't have to coach. We don't have to teach our children to fight. We don't have to create the interest in lying to protect ourselves. We don't have to sit them down and have a lesson on mine and I want that. Those things are all part of our nature, and it's fallen. There's still a good to it. We're created in the image of God. But there's this battle between the fallen nature and the spirit that lives in us. And let me remind you, the spirit is in us by invitation. Okay, so you might think that you believe in Jesus, you're done, that's good, settled. Well, that is good, and that is settling, and it takes care of our forgiveness of sins, but for freedom from sin, we need to invite the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, regularly inviting Him to live in us, dwell in us, and give us the power to live. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 describes this conflict that's warring in us. He says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. We don't just go through life doing whatever we want, or that would result in some bad stuff in our life. There's this conflict. To obey one is to reject the other. Now, so you've seen the commercials, or you've seen caricatures from cartoons of the world where there's a demon perched on one shoulder and there's an angel with a halo, and that's not really the situation. You don't have the devil and an angel trying to influence you. What you have is an old nature. James says when anybody sins, he's not to blame the devil. He's to realize that it comes from within us, our sinful nature. And so there's this nature, but there's also the voice of the Spirit in us. And they clamor for our attention. And you're going to pay attention to something. And naturally, you don't have to really pay much attention to the old man, the fallen nature, because that's what we normally do. But if we're going to learn to listen and respond to the Spirit, then there's a possibility of change. So these two voices, the one is self-centered, the other is selfless. The one is self-gratifying, do whatever makes me feel good. The other is God-glorifying, doing whatever pleases God. One is greedy and materialistic, and the other is generous and wants to share and give of its means. One is undisciplined and consuming. The other is full of self-control and intentionally lives simple. The description is in 5 verse 19, where the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. What's selfish ambition doing in there? Something innocent like that among all those bad things? Well, that's one of the aspects of the old nature. It thinks of itself only. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. But, 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When you read a description like that, 9 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, what goes through your mind instantly? Do you think, 9 areas to work on? 9 areas to try harder? You immediately go to patience and you say, I need to work on that one. Is that how your mind operates? Or do you think 9 characteristics that are growing in me as I yield to the Spirit? One task. I like whatever the Bible simplifies. Not 9 subjects to work on harder, to do better. One subject, one ring to control them all. And that ring is to walk in step with the Spirit. And when we live in this, there were 9 rings, weren't there? Just 3. No, there were 9 rings, weren't there? Somebody help me with that later. I'm going to work on a message, Lord of the Rings, giving ourselves. Can you guys just wait a few minutes? I'll be back in about 15 minutes. I'm going to revise my message here. But one subject, learning to walk in step with the Spirit. Do you think sometimes you get distracted in my message? It works both ways. I haven't fallen asleep yet, though, while I was preaching, so So if Juanita Dellis from my other church was here, I would say to her now, Juanita, wake up. Good friend of ours. The fruit trees are about to explode in our yard, and yours as well, and with blossoms. And what do you do with fruit? Well, you enjoy it. There's no grunting, no grimacing. I don't stand on guard for my tree at night and strain to bear some fruit. We know the life flows naturally from the roots, and the result of a healthy life is fruit. And the presence of the Spirit in our life produces its fruit. And that's what we want in our home, and that's what we want in our workplace, and as we represent Christ to the world. So what do we need to learn to do in order to have that fruit blossoming in us? He said, let's walk, keep in step with the Spirit. First of all, in verse 24, he gives a strong word. He said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Strong word, serious treatment. Think of the crucifixion. You have taken yourself, your old nature, and said, when Christ died, I was with him dying. It's a choice that you make within you that instead of just you living to please yourself, you're going to live to please Jesus Christ. And so now it becomes a daily dying and putting ourselves to death. And let me tell you, life will give you multiple opportunities every day to crucify your flesh. And you say sometimes, well, it hurts. And like one individual said to me, well, of course it hurts. He's killing you. And we're killing this old man in us. Some have used the idea that we're starving it to death. We pay intentional neglect to that voice that's clamoring for itself. But we pay careful attention to the Spirit. We watch the bobber. We see it twitch. We see it move. And we respond appropriately. I want to have you think about how we do that in a regular day. Well, start the day right. Get focused. Tell the Lord and the devil that it is your intention today that you are going to live for God and you're going to be paying attention to the Spirit. I love that little prayer. You've seen it many times probably. It goes like this, Dear Lord, so far I've done pretty good. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to be getting up. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot of help. I saw that word grumpy. It reminded me of another one. Sometimes I wake up grumpy and sometimes I let her sleep. Oh, wow. Okay, I owe you. I owe you at least Applebee's for that one, huh? Start before you even get out of bed. As you're putting on your shoes and socks, as you're taking your shower, just notify the devil, notify your old nature. Just say to yourself, I don't exist today just to please myself. My intent is going to be to walk and step with the Spirit, to be attentive and responsive to him. I actually remember a speaker, I mean, I don't remember the speaker, but I remember a speaker saying that he would take a cold shower in the morning. And he would do it, and as he did it, he would say, Flesh, I want you to go on notice that you aren't going to get your way all day. I have a higher purpose than just making you happy and doing what feels good. And the cold shower was his reminder. Well, have at it if you like that idea. So you start the day right. And then you build reminders into your day. Steve Bostrom at the Day of Prayer reminded us that our zip code is 406. Set your alarm on your clock for 406. 6 in the afternoon, and every time it goes off, it's a reminder for you to stop and pray for our country. Meals do that. Did some of you get tired of praying, Lord, bless the food, a long time ago? But you got the pattern. And so we've started at meals to remember someone's need or our need for more of God. I've told you before that when you're driving and you hit a stoplight, why not let that be a trigger? The one on Malfunction Junction, I can tell you in rush hour, it's a minute and 15 seconds. I count it off every time. Or it reminds me, well, why don't I just stop and pray for somebody? Why don't I refocus right now that I want the Holy Spirit to be leading in my life? Another big one is our emotional responses. When something evokes emotion in me, good or bad, that can be a trigger of how I am walking in the Spirit or how I am not, depending on what that emotion is. And then as you build those kind of reminders, and you could have your own list, and you learn to really live like the old song says, moment by moment. We're going to have everybody over 60 is going to stand with me now, and we're going to quote this for the rest of you young'uns that should have learned this old hymn. Here's how it goes. You don't have to. Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. That means till its end. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Moment by moment, I am kept in your love. Moment by moment, are you getting the point? I have life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. And then the song goes on and talks about subjects like our battles and contests and trials and burdens and sorrows. But moment by moment, I'm under his care. There's heartaches and groans and teardrops and moans. There's dangers and weakness and sickness in weal or in woe, in good or in bad. But in 1800s, we said things like in weal or in woe. Moment by moment. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? You keep watching the bobber all through the day. And when it moves. Another metaphor is the children of Israel were under that cloud. And our friend Dave Dunn, anybody remember that name from 1,000 years ago? Dave, I think, still signs his emails following the cloud. That when the cloud moved, the children of Israel moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And one passage just does it over and over. It says, so when it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And so when it moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they... And just, I got it. But moment by moment, we're responding to the Spirit in our life. And when we do that, those 9 characteristics grow in our lives. And then at the end of the day, you reflect and you repent and you restate what your intent is to be. Now, when Romans 6, we aren't going to look at that today, but when it addresses the same subject, it uses the word present yourselves. Or yield yourselves, or offer. It even says, offer the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness. Don't offer the parts of your body as instruments of sin, but offer them to God. And that's another way of saying, watch the bobber. Through the day, you're offering yourself. You're just saying, Lord, just reminding myself and declaring it to you that I today am wanting to yield all of myself to you. And remember that song we used to sing in Sunday school, Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes. It was an attempt to remind us that our eyes and our ears and our hands and our feet, the parts of our body could be used for sin or for God. And so he uses the word offer, present. I read once that word present means reporting for duty, sir. And I've always liked that. Reporting for duty, sir. And that's what it means to offer yourself. Start that early in the morning. Say it throughout the day. End by reviewing how you did on it and starting afresh the next morning. I'd like to, in the second part of the message, I'd like to go to a life in the Old Testament, the life of Elijah. We read in Elijah that a number of times the word of the Lord came to Elijah. God was speaking to him, and we find some things out about it in this story, what that looked like. And what we find is that is how Elijah paid attention. He gives us some of the areas that we can pay attention to and respond to the bobbers in our life. Are you tired of that metaphor? All right, get over it. 1 Kings 19 is this story of Elijah. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Do you know where the story is coming from? Elijah had been hiding for 3.5 years while there was a famine, and then challenges King Ahab to let's determine, well, how long are we going to sit on the fence? If God is God, let's serve him. If Baal is God, let's serve him. And so the 450 prophets of Baal met Elijah on the top of the mountain, and they built their altar. The test was build an altar, put the sacrifice on it, and see who's God could send down fire from heaven. You know what really encouraged me about that story is that Elijah did everything that God had commanded him to do. I'm glad he didn't have to just make that up like me. Say, okay, let's prove it to everybody. You know, let's see whose God can call down fire from heaven. No, he was doing what God had commanded him to do. So they did. The prophets of Baal failed. It's a fun theatrical story. And then he prays simply and God sends down fire from heaven. The prophets are killed and everybody says God is God. Now, Queen Jezebel doesn't like that, and so she's put out a warrant on his life. And Elijah's response, full of the Spirit, fresh off this huge victory, is he stands up with his Bible and challenges her in the name. No, he was afraid, and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, and while he himself went a day's further into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. That once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around. There was his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a water jar. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And then he proceeds on to this encounter with God. There's some things in Elijah's life that we could learn from and be reminded to pay attention. First one is boundaries and margins. Now, which Elijah has had none of. Running, hiding, been pretty stressful time in his life. He's just been trying to stay alive while the king and all of his power had been trying to kill him. And what I want you to remember is it wasn't even his fault. He didn't ask for that in life. Life just piled up on him. But when we live breathless, overcommitted, and under-resourced, we have little energy to pay attention to God. We're just trying to survive. Some things are not ours to control, but some are. Sometimes there are chapters and windows in our life where there's a tremendous amount of stress. There's hardly any margin or boundaries, and they can be survived, short periods like that. But when those become habits and a way of life, it becomes extremely destructive. If you're serious and want to walk in step with the Spirit, you can't do it on the run. The psalm writer had it right. It's still right. Be still and know that I am God. Do you want to encounter God? Do you want to walk in step with Him? Do you want to experience His fruit growing in our life? You got to pay attention to the boundaries in your life that you set and the margins that you have. If you're serious, go to your mate. Go to your spiritual advisor. Say, I need some margins. Will you help me? And notice, the first thing that God does is He gives them food and sleep. Some good nutrition and exercise. Well, He's going to walk for 40 days. That's pretty good exercise. And sleep. Does that sound spiritual? Well, sometimes God's answers to us are in some of the bad habits that we need to change in our life of food, nutrition, exercise, and sleep. The second one here is that we learn from Elijah is to pay attention to our emotions. So on the first one, just stop a minute and think, how much margin do I have? How much time do I have? Have I said to myself lately, I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to read. Am I trying to listen to God while I'm doing 100 other things? Or is there a place in my life right now that I'm able just to be at peace and listen for what God would have to say to me? That's what I mean by pay attention. So pay attention to your emotions. The appropriate intensity is how I would describe it. Too much emotion. You ever had your mate say to you or a friend say to you, you seemed really angry. And your response was, I wasn't angry. When a friend is trying to give you some information, some observation, listen to them. But sometimes the emotional response is too little. You actually have become numb to some things that should matter. Don't underestimate the long-term effect of stress, rejection, loss, pain, hurt. And your emotions will give you a clue on how you're doing with it. A friend of mine had experienced 5 deaths of very significant people in his life. And he was telling our group of how out of whack he was. How he just didn't feel right. He just didn't. His emotions were askew. He didn't have the energy for ministry. He went on and on. We all looked at him like, duh. You've not had a chance to process all that, and you need time away. You need space to just deal with that and then come back to serving and being the good soldier for Jesus. And your emotions will tell you if you've crossed a line. So here's Elijah who's going to repeat this. So we know he's been rehearsing this to himself. And he says, take my life, I'm no better. He just wants to die. And at the next verse, down as it goes on. Here's the part he's rehearsed. The Lord says, what are you doing? And he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They put your prophets to death, the sword. And I'm the only one left. Have you ever had the I'm the only one left syndrome? I'm the only one who cares about this. I'm the only one who's really committed. Well, when you're having those kind of emotional responses, it can be an alert to you. The bobber's twitching. Something's going on. Time to pay attention. The third one is unusual circumstances, opportunities, successes, failures. Things that we might think a coincidence. We can ask ourselves, what is happening here? And what might God be doing through these events? Now, I don't jump to conclusions too quick. Like a friend of mine says, it's an open door. Doesn't mean you're supposed to walk through it. Closed doors, just that, a closed door. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to keep trying. But we weigh those things. And we listen, we take him to the Lord, and we say that the bobber's twitching here, Lord, and I'm not sure what to do about it. I need to know, what are you trying to communicate to me through this? one of the in the practicing the presence of God, one of the ways we practice the presence is to be alert to the ways God is seeking to communicate with us. And sometimes it's in strange events, sequences, circumstances, coincidences. A fourth one that I want you to really give thought to as I close is the patterns of how God works in your life. I haven't talked about this much, but I've talked with a few people, and one gentleman in particular really has been blessed by it, and often when he corresponds with me, he'll say something like, just listening for the patterns of the Spirit in my life. God takes Elijah and says, I've got something I'm going to say to you, and there's this wind, but you know how the story goes, God wasn't in the wind. And there's this earthquake that shakes the mountain, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there's a fire, and there's a gentle whisper. And I want to suggest to you it's a whisper that Elijah's heard before. Because we've been reading all through the story, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Word of the Lord. And now here's this gentle whisper. I'd suggest to you that Elijah recognizes this voice. He doesn't have to say, I wonder if that was God. Because there have been patterns in his life that he knows he's frequently heard from God. And as we keep step and as we walk in his Spirit, over the years, we learn some of the patterns of how God communicates with us. And that's a wonderful thing about growing in your walk in the Spirit. When you start to hear something and you say, oh, I've heard this voice before. Now, the old man has patterns too. And there's things that come into my brain and I say, I've heard that before. Not going there. But this pattern. So I've told you before that the day that I walked into the Copper Canyon with Tomas, I saw the plight of the people. I was deeply touched by the lostness, the brokenness of their culture. And when I got to the canyon rim, I knew God was speaking to me. I knew he was calling me to respond. Why? Because I'd heard that voice before. I'd felt that. I'd seen that linkage before. Now there's some needs that don't do that. That world is full of needs. But I've had times where I've seen a need and I've sensed something and heard something in my heart, and I recognized that voice. And I turned to Tomas and said, I can say with a certainty, God wants me to be a part of this. I will help you. What I'm talking to you today is about a lifestyle, not a formula. When I teach the kids how to fish, we don't catch a fish every time. We pay attention. There's lots of misses and coaching along the way, but they're learning to fish. And it doesn't always happen perfectly with you. It's not a formula. But if you pay attention to what the Spirit is doing throughout the day, every day, and you respond, you'll learn to keep in step with the Spirit. And then when you do that, the 9 character qualities become fruit that grow in your life. I want us to close with a song. Worship team, you can step forward. And we often sing this in our worship service as a point of saying, we want you to come, Lord, and fill this place, fill the atmosphere, and just be special among us. Today I'd like you to sing it different. I'd like you to sing it thinking about your home as a place. Your office work, your truck when you're recreating, taking guys fishing or hunting. Sing it with your world in mind and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to fill it, and that your life becomes one of responding, walking in step with Him.